Welcome to Cairo Feast, where we are serving up big helpings of wisdom in the successful practice of chiropractic, the world of entrepreneurialism, and extra servings of mentorship to navigate this wonderful experience we call life. My name is Dr. Jeff Danielson. I've built, bought, and sold many chiropractic practices and currently own 19 limited liability corporations. I love the entrepreneurial spirit, and I pay it forward through a company called Big Fish Enterprises. I coach and mentor business owners so they don't repeat the mistakes that I made in my career. Every week, we cover a topic that will help make you a better leader and a better entrepreneur. Or maybe it's just going to be a topic that helps you become a better person. You'll want to share these episodes because in life, it is always better to pay it forward. And now, let's get into today's topic.
Come and get it, everybody. Cairo Feast is online and we are ready to serve. Boy, today do I have a dish for you. For all of our listeners, I've got a treat. I'm going to call it dessert, Dr. O. I've got a guest here today that I just met recently for the first time at a Roberto Monaco seminar conference. And Bill, that was a great group that we had. I feel like we've been friends for 10 to 15 years, and I only spent 2 days with you. But I just want to introduce Dr. Bill Ormston, or Dr. O, as he likes to go by. Welcome to Cairo Feast.
Thank you. It's an honor. Anytime we can talk, tell stories, talk Cairo, and promote, you know, good, clean living. What else is there?
Well, for our listeners, here's where we're going to go today. I'm going to kind of paint the picture. And of course, as soon as I say that, we're going to go probably five other directions. But but I'm going to say this. If you're listening, if you are a listener of this episode, you're going to get all the feels. And by that, I mean, I think you'll be inspired. I think you will laugh. I think you will maybe even be choked up and have a tear. I think you're going to get a lot of the emotions because Dr. O is that kind of an impactful human being that pays it forward to the future of both chiropractic and animal chiropractic. That's where we're going today is animal chiropractic. So Dr. O, let's start with that. And then we're just going to run. And to be honest with you, this might end up being two podcast episodes because I feel like I can talk to you for an hour and a half. So we might have to cut it off and convert it into two episodes.
Whatever works.
All right. Well, Dr. O, why don't you give a little bit of a background who you are, what you do today. So paint the picture of what you do today, and then maybe give a little bit of a background on how you got there.
All right. That sounds good. So I'm Dr. O. I am a veterinarian certified in animal chiropractic. Now, my veterinary practice is unique in that every animal gets adjusted 3 times before we do any other modalities.
And this is a cat, a rabbit, a gecko, whatever animal comes into you as a veterinarian, you are adjusting 3 times a week.
No, 3 times before we do anything else.
Oh, 3 times before you do any other services.
Correct. It may be once a month, it may be once a week, it may be once a day.
Right. But before you do any other type of services or modalities, it's adjusting first.
Adjust first, drug second, surgery third.
Okay.
You know, and that's not what I learned in vet school. I'll be quite honest. You know, in vet school, we kind of drugs first, surgery second, then anything else was, you know, kind of just, well, if you want to.
Right.
So what happened and the way I got into animal chiropractic was when I was in vet school, my first son was born. And he got his third MMR when he was 9 months old. And 9 hours later, he had his first seizure. Scary rushed him to the hospital, 15-minute drive in under 5 minutes. They immediately gave him seizure medications, which we then found out he would be on for the rest of his life because it was unsafe to take him off. So, wow, what are we going to do? We didn't, and I didn't know at that time to say no. No. And this is one of my reasons that I'm so adamant about spreading the chiropractic word to people, is because I truly believe that if he'd have been adjusted at birth, if somebody had said, maybe you should slow down on the vaccine schedule, he wouldn't have had his seizures, and we wouldn't have treated him with drugs, and he wouldn't have died when he was 37 years old.
So your son, this son that you were talking about, who had his first seizure from the MMR vaccine, also passed away at 37.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yep. And for 37 years, he was on seizure medication, never had controlled seizures. And the best he ever did was when he had a seizure dog, a seizure alert dog that would alert us anytime he had a seizure, so he could actually leave the room. So for the first 21 years, he could never leave the room. He had to always be in the room with an adult. And that's not fair to anybody, you know. So he had a seizure dog. He got to leave the room and got to experience some life and did pretty good, but he was still on drugs. And 10 times throughout his period, he went into a seizure lab where they took him off all drugs. They hyperstimulated him with strobe lights and noises and low sugar and high sugar and all kinds of things, slept sleep deprivation to try to make him have a seizure. And he never once had a seizure when he was in those sleep labs with no medications on. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the sleep lab, they'd say, well, we still don't know why he has seizures. Let's put him back on drugs. Mm-hmm. And every time within 24 hours, he had a seizure. That was pretty nasty. And I was telling Dr. Danielson earlier that I remember the first time we were coming home from the lab, we had to pull over twice so that he could have seizures. We could get him out of his car seat so he could have a seizure. Mm. And I remember looking at my wife then and saying, man, we are so lucky he's on drugs. Can you imagine this seizure if he'd been not on drugs? And then I was reading, because I do a lot of reading when people bring their dogs to me and they're on drugs. First thing I do with dog drugs is look at the side effects.
Yeah.
And 6 months after he died, I looked at the side effects of some of the seizure medications might cause seizures.
Yeah.
So for 37 years, I was not strong enough to stand up to the medical profession and say, wait a minute, he hasn't had a seizure in 7 days and you've been trying to make him have a seizure? Let's just leave him off drugs for a little bit and see what happens.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't need this.
Sounds eerily familiar to the story that I've heard from even many of my patients from the last few years when they have gotten COVID and they're fully vaccinated. They've had the booster once, twice, three, four times. And they look at me and they say, thank goodness that I've had all the booster shots. Because this COVID would have been a lot worse if I hadn't gotten the booster shots. So it sounds similar.
And I would say to your patients, thank goodness you're Dr. Danielson's patients, because every time he's adjusting you, he's boosting your immune system. He's increasing your T lymphocytes. Those are the cells that fight COVID. He's boosting those cells so that you have your natural immune system is ready to fight COVID, not that vaccine.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to what are you doing today? So, we already got some good stories there, but today, you mentioned, as a vet, you're going to do adjustments.
Yep.
And one of the interesting things that I when I met you is that you started handing out keychains to people, and the keychain was something I'd never seen before. Tell me what it was, Bill.
It's a dog atlas. It's a dog atlas. Yeah, there's a gentleman that lives up in Connecticut that he greets you. He's a human chiropractor, and he says, "How's your atlas?" And I thought that was pretty cool. So when you bring your dog in, or you have a dog, hey, how's your dog's atlas? And most people don't know.
Right.
But that's what controls everything. The central nervous system, which is the first organ formed embryologically, it starts to work before anything else does. And it controls every organ, every biological, chemical reaction that happens in your body is controlled by the nervous system. But then I removed the vertebral subluxation with my hand, and now we've got 100% communication. So now the body can work the way it's supposed to. And that's how simple chiropractic is. I went to animal chiropractic classes and got certified in animal chiropractic at a place where they talked about it being a tool in the toolbox. It was just a tool. And there's a lot of animal chiropractors that do that. There's a lot of chiropractors that do that, that work with an MD and chiropractic works that way. I have no doubt it works that way. And if you go to the chiropractor once every 6 months, you'll feel better. And it will be better than never going to the chiropractor.
Better than nothing, right?
Better than nothing. However, then some things happened, and Dr. Amy and I, my partner and wife, started our own school. And we needed to teach some philosophy and trying to find some people to teach philosophy, probably some chiropractors, we thought. Some of them said yes, and then they let me down because they got busy. And so I had to read these books so I could get some philosophy. I don't know. Some of your listeners may have heard of them. You might have some in the bookshelf behind you there. They're green.
I was going to say, they're not the color green, are they?
Yeah, they're those green books. Yeah. Yeah. So I read those green books and I'm like, wow, that's, so I got a little more philosophy. And then one day, my son got hit by a drunk driver, not the one that died, but my other son got hit by a drunk driver. And he was training with Navy SEALs at the time for fun. It's like, dude, we need to talk. But anyway, so he was hit by a drunk driver. He was ejected from a vehicle. And he ended up making a dent in the outside of the other truck's body because he went into the back of the pickup and hit it with his head hard enough to dent out. That was his only injury, was a brain injury. Of course, I got online and said, hey, I need some prayers. And this gentleman from Connecticut that I just barely knew called me up and it said, hey, where's the nearest airport? And I was like, I don't need you to hold my hand. You can pray from where you're at. Prayer works that way. I appreciate the thought that you want to come hold my hand. He said, I want to hold your hand. He said, I need to adjust your son's atlas. We ended up with people that we that didn't know us. I mean, a lot of them I never knew until they walked in the door of the hospital. In a family-only unit. He was in neuro ICU, family-only. My son, Philip, is his name. He got adjusted 14 times in 17 days by 14 different chiropractors that truly understood the principle. And he needed the drugs to help him heal. He needed surgery to remove the pressure from his brain. But he needed chiropractic to keep things moving right, to keep things working right and under control. He still has some problems today, but he's still with us. And chiropractic saved his life.
Wow.
And lack of chiropractic early, before he was 13, my seizure son never was adjusted till he was 13. And lack of chiropractic is what caused his life to end early. So I'm a firm believer in adjusting every atlas, no matter what it is, as soon as possible. We adjust day-old chickens as soon as they're hatched. We adjust them.
Wow.
And we know, we've done some double-blind studies here at the ranch. We know that adjusted chickens gained faster, are more vigorous than their non-adjusted counterparts. And why would you adjust a chicken? Well, 74% of people prefer chiropractically adjusted chickens in a double-blind taste test.
Isn't that something?
Yep.
Everybody who just heard that, take that in for a second. 74% of people, humans, prefer the taste of an adjusted chicken. And why is that? What makes that chicken taste better?
Couple things, I think. One is they have less stress hormones. They gain faster. Their nervous system only does what it's supposed to do. So it helps them gain weight, get bigger faster. So they reach market weight at a more relatively quick. Our chickens that were adjusted were 6.5 pounds at 92 days versus 114 days for our non-adjusted chickens. And from a farmer standpoint, that makes a lot of difference. That's, you know, 2 weeks less work feed that I have to feed these birds. So that chiropractic adjustment makes it, it's worthwhile, even in food animals. You know, normally we only think of animal chiropractic as in our pets.
Right. Right.
You know, in our horses that we compete with. But we very seldom think about our food animals.
What's the largest animal you've ever adjusted?
A giraffe.
A giraffe.
Yes.
And the smallest? Might be the chick.
Day old chick. Although I've held a 3 day old South African porcupine. They have the really long spines. So when they were little, they didn't, weren't spiny, but I held that one while my wife adjusted it. So
you're the CA.
Yes. I was the CA in that case. Yes. Yeah. We flipped. I lost.
So before we get into giraffe stories, cause I know you've got a giraffe story. Tell me a little bit about your school. Because that's part of your purpose.
Yeah.
And you've given your purpose statement to me in the past, but for our listeners, what's your purpose for being on this planet?
My purpose is to make sure that every atlas gets adjusted on a routine basis. Now, what that routine is entirely up to the chiropractor and the patient. But I mean every atlas, every human atlas, every dog atlas, every horse atlas, every chicken atlas. If we could do that, it would be huge. So we run a school, and our school is called ACES, Animal Chiropractic Education Source, and it is an acronym, ACES. I had a buddy once tell me that if you couldn't be the best of the best, don't do it. So ACES started about the time of the first Top Gun movie.
Okay.
The second movie came out, and it still talks about, you know, being the best of the best. Tom Cruise is finally an ace in the second one, and he got 5 kills. Now, we don't do kills here, but we are the only school that makes sure. We just had some Module 1 people come. So their first lab, they were here for Module 1, their first time. They adjusted 8 animals each. So they're all an ace. The school I went to, we adjusted 0 before we graduated. The first school I ran, we adjusted 1 after graduation.
Wow.
These students have already adjusted 8 animals, and we just sent them home to go to work.
Was that just in their Module 1? How many modules are there?
3.
Okay. So they're just getting their feet wet, and they're adjusting 8 times that.
Yep.
People in other chiropractic.
Animal chiropractic schools. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We throw them in. We dip them.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I've never really understood that. And, you know, no offense to those that might be listening to this that are, you know, in charge of chiropractic schools. But, you know, in some of the schools, it almost seems like they don't even want their students to be adjusting.
Yes.
Good at it. You know, if you're not going to put your hands on patients and start adjusting and you know, I take it very seriously. I've got interns that come to my practice. I've had well over 100 interns in my practice over the years, and we get their hands on people immediately because that's when they start getting better. As soon as they put hands on people, you can't learn it without doing it. You know, you can't watch Michael Jordan shoot baskets. Or LeBron James shoot baskets or dunk basketballs, put the ball in your hand and go, you know, do it.
Well, and we have students come here for CE and they're like, oh, we adjusted. Oh, really? How many did you adjust? Oh, I don't know, 4 or 5. And I'm like, wow, you had 60 people in your class. So that means if everybody adjusted 4 animals, you had 240 animals come through 1 lap. Man, that's a lot. And they're like, well, no, we had 5 or 6 animals come to lap. Well, then you didn't adjust. They do what they call hands-on.
Okay.
They do posology. Like, you know, so Dr. O, there's the straw. The way you drink out of a straw is you put your mouth over the straw. And then you suck. Well, how hard? Well, you have to determine that yourself when you get home. But you know how to do it now.
Now, when did you start the school?
We started, well, back in 2003, I started, I wrote the Parker Chiropractic Program and started the Parker Program back in 2003. And I taught at Parker from 2003 till 2012. And then in 2012, Dr. Amy, my wife, we started ACES together.
Okay.
And so we've been going 11 years now. We moved out to the ranch in 2016.
Okay.
And that's when we were able to really start dipping people. I mean, when you come to the ranch, it's an experience. We do gluten-free, sugar-free, healthy meals, healthy snacks. We, you know, all our animals here, all our horses came here to die, but they're still alive because of chiropractic.
So, tell me about that, because I know you've had horses donated to you that were going to be euthanized. And, you know, tell me a little bit more about some of the horses and how they came to you.
Well, they're, you know, we've had horses come and they're, like the first horse that came here was all swollen up in his back legs. And they said he hadn't moved in over a year. He just kind of stood underneath the oak tree out there by him, where he was. And so we were looking for a horse for what we call a gross anatomy lab, you know, like what you had in school. And I dissected a cadaver horse in school, but for a different reason. I wasn't looking for movement, and I wasn't looking at the spine. You know, we were looking at the guts and, you know, traditional veterinary stuff. And so we've never been able to do this yet because they all get better, but he was going to be our gross anatomy horse. So he came here. He wasn't, you know, his quality of life wasn't great, but it wasn't like he was in severe pain or anything. So he didn't need to be put to sleep right now. So it takes about 60 to 90 days to get a CE course approved and advertise it, get people to show up and help, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So we're get all that in going in the pipeline, and we were having class with students. And we're like, well, we just as well use him for anatomy. So we'd bring him up and students would, you know, find his parts. And then we'd like, well, go ahead and adjust him, because you're going to adjust anyway. So adjust him. And so all of a sudden, instead of standing underneath the oak tree, he was walking over 198 acres of pasture. He lived here for 4.5 to 5 years before he finally had to be put down.
Wow.
And he still resides in our bone room. So he continues to teach. And that's one of the things about all the animals that come here. They live here forever. It's their forever home, even after they're gone, because then we keep them in the bone room so that their bones can continue to teach. So that was one of them. We had one come in that was a wobbler. Horse was fine one day, and he went out to play with his other yearling buddies. Came in that night, he couldn't hardly stand up. The veterinarian that took the x-ray didn't know much about chiropractic, but she's a very good veterinarian. She took the x-rays and said, oh, he's got this thing called wobblers. It's a congenital problem, blah, blah, blah. So they put him in a stall, and they were trying to figure out what to do with him, and ended up being in a stall for about 9 months without being touched too many times. And the veterinarian ended up coming to animal chiropractic school. And she said, I'll bet that horse can be helped with chiropractic. She tried to help it, and they wouldn't let her. So she said, well, why don't you donate it? Because you're not going to do anything with it. It's not very nice to him. Donate it for a anatomy horse. So, okay. That was 3.5 years ago. Almost fell off the trailer. He couldn't stand up. And I thought he was going to kill somebody. So I ran in and adjusted where I had seen on the x-ray where the subluxation was, and almost didn't get him because the daughter was like, mom, that worked. He's a different horse. And I'm like, okay, sign here.
We need this horse here.
So anyway, he's still here. His name's Liam. He's been here since, and he just moves awesome. He's a great, great learning for the students. And, you know, so we get all kinds of horses that come in, varying ages. Some of them, the least one's ever been here. We had one come in February that was 30 years old, and he passed away. But we've had 43-year-old horses here. We've got a 33-year-old horses here right now. Now, they don't all look fat, plump, and sassy, but they move around on their own. They eat, they drink, and they're excellent examples for students. Especially, you know, can you imagine if your interns came in and they had never touched really a human body yet, and all you had was you know, 300-pound people come in that first couple days. You know, maybe we need somebody with a little less covering, right? So
okay, right? That's okay.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, Bill. When you went to, what year was it that you became a vet?
I became a vet in 1988. So I went to vet school from 82 to 88. And I graduated, went into practice, traditional veterinary medicine, surgery, drugs, you know, just pretty typical.
What made you want to do something more, especially in the realm of chiropractic, vet chiropractic?
Well, it was Riley's fault, my seizure son.
Okay.
One of the things that happens when you have somebody in your family that has a chronic disease is everybody has a way to treat it. Mm-hmm. And they'll tell you.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm like, okay, well, my Western trained mind said, I got to look into it. So I have a degree in veterinary homeopathy. Because every book you can buy on homeopathy, when you get to the seizure chapter, says seizures are really serious. You should check with a naturopath in your area. Well, if I had a naturopath in my area, I'd have gone, but we don't. So I'm trying to figure this out. And then, you know, I said that somebody said we needed a chiropractor. All right. So I started calling chiropractors. Nobody told me the question to ask. I asked the wrong questions because I was asking symptom-based questions because that's all I knew as a veterinarian.
Yeah.
If I called you up, Dr. Jeff, and said, hey, do you treat seizures in kids? Your answer, I hope, would be no.
Yeah. No, the answer is no, but I adjust lots of kids that have had seizures, you know, and that's the truth about every single symptom. And one of the things that I teach with my interns and with my associates, and I've had over 50 chiropractic associates over the years, you know, if you meet somebody and they say, you know, I have blank, Parkinson's, I have MS, I have cancer. Do you treat that or can you help me with that? And my answer, and I teach all my people, the answer is yes. The answer is yes, we can help you.
Yes.
Because we don't treat Parkinson's, but we take care of human beings that have Parkinson's. And I guarantee you, you will do better at dealing with Parkinson's when you're well-adjusted, when you're under our care. I promise you, 100%. And I know chiropractors are oftentimes nervous to guarantee anything. And I don't guarantee that somebody's symptom is going to go away. I don't guarantee that their headaches are going to disappear. What I do guarantee, and I guarantee this, I will correct subluxation, period.
Yep.
I will correct it. And chiropractic works. And what happens is a miracle after that, that the body just knows what to do. And there will be lots of different symptoms that will change and go away because I corrected subluxation. And I guarantee that chiropractic works, you know, and to be honest with you, it works better in animals than it does in humans, because humans have this weird thing called, you know, this human intelligence that's muddled and messed up by, you know, everything from our education system to our news media to, you know, all kinds of other influences that animals don't have, that really screws us up in the head. And so I've never had an animal that I've ever adjusted that has complained to me about the power of an adjustment.
Every once in a while, they'll grumble because it hurts sometimes. But, you know, I once So I was 47 years old, going through a divorce, weighed 300 pounds, and had three teenagers at home. Woke up one morning, I had shooting pain down my left arm. I'm having a heart attack, right? I mean, it's pretty obvious. I, you know, overweight, high cholesterol, high stress. All right. So I got the kids to school because I didn't want them to see me suffer, right? You know, it's okay to come home tonight and see me dead, but don't just have it. First thing in the morning. Yeah, not first thing in the morning. So called and canceled a few clients, said, hey, I'm probably not going to come see you today. I'll get back to you. And I got in my truck to go see my cardiologist, who happens to have a dachshund that would get paralyzed every once in a while and would just call me up and said, hey, I need to get an appointment. My dachshund, can you see me today? And I'd always fit him in. So I thought, well, turnabout is fair play. I'm just going to drive into his office and walk in and say, hey.
Here I am.
Here I am. And on the way, I have to go by my chiropractor's office. And I'm thinking, you know, my back hurts a little bit. And this is before I started our second school. So I'm teaching at Parker, and we've got a little bit of philosophy, but it's still just a tool. But my low back hurts. And I'm like, you know, if I go to the cardiologist and he puts me in the hospital, I was going to be uncomfortable laying in bed for 3 or 4 days, right? So I go in, and doctor goes, hey, how you doing today? I said, same old, same old. You know, you know, he says, stress? I said, oh, a little bit. He laughs. He lays me down. And he adjusts me, and he says, you know, your first rib is out. He said, why don't you roll over? I'm going to adjust your first rib. He said, this might hurt. That was an understatement.
At least he warned me.
Yeah, at least he warned me. It hurt. And anyway, he said, okay, I'm done. He gets me up, and I'm looking at my arm, and he says, you okay? I said, well, yeah, I'm okay. I said, in fact, you know, I had this shooting pain down my left arm all morning, and it's gone. I was on the way to the cardiologist, and he said, you were what? So he got out his blood pressure cuff, took my blood pressure. It was equal in both arms. And he said, you know, you sure you're all right? I was like, yeah, I'm good now. And he said, well, just sit there for 20 minutes for me. Humor me. So I sat there for 20 minutes, and he came back out. Any pain? No, no pain. And he checked my blood pressure, and it was down, you know, about 10 points. And like a good Atlas adjustment should do, right? Or your blood pressure about 10 points. And he said, you probably ought to work on that. He said, I said, okay, well, can I go to work now? And he said, well, I guess. So I went back to work, and I've never had any problems. Now, I blame or give credit to him for adjusting me. And that chiropractic adjustment is why we're still here. We're here talking today.
Okay.
Because if I'd have gone to my cardiologist through no fault of him, but what are the chances that I would have had a negative patient outcome during the testing? What are the chances that he would have put me on a statin drug, that he would have put me on some blood pressure medicine? And one of the side effects of those medications are negative patient outcomes. And so if my chiropractor had not adjusted, if I'd have been smart enough to tell him everything that was going on, which I know I should have, but if I had, and not really said, no, you need to adjust me, he probably wouldn't have adjusted me. And in fact, he has told me that he would have called 911 for me.
Yeah.
And I probably wouldn't be here today.
Yeah. The number one skill that every chiropractor needs to learn, And where we have the biggest problem, and I say we, I'm talking about, all chiropractors that are seeing humans. The biggest challenge, the biggest hurdle we have is getting past our lack of confidence in innate intelligence.
Correct.
And if we can just trust the human body that God created to do the things that it was designed to do, and not allow our educated minds to get in the way of the miracle called life that's inside of everybody. It's inside of us. And it is, I think you're absolutely right, Dr. O. You know, that chiropractor probably never would have adjusted you.
Yep.
If you told him, you know, those certain symptoms. And what he could have done was adjust you and then send you somewhere.
Well, and we do that all the time. I use the chiropractic adjustment as a diagnostic tool. And I think that's, and we're going to talk about this in the second episode more, about the portal of entry. But I use the response to treatment as a huge, huge thing. So I'm going to adjust. You bring your dog to me. You got a dog?
Three.
All right. You bring me a dog. He is flat out. We don't have any idea what's going on with him. Could be poison. Could be hit by car. Could be heat. We don't know anything. Normally, when you brought him into me, we're going to do x-rays. We're going to do blood work. We're going to do all this stuff. Get all our diagnostics in. Spend a bunch of money. And your dog's still out. Because we haven't done anything. Maybe some IVs. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to adjust him. Boom. Right away. Adjust him. Now, so he was like this, right? Laying sideways. You know? And now, he's up a little bit. Looking around. Looking kind of perky. He's not 100% yet. But he's better, right? Great. So we removed some vertebral subluxations that were causing him some issues. Let's see what happens. 20 minutes later, I'd let you sit in the room. You know, you're in here with him. You holler at me, "Oh my God, Doc, he's going bad. He's going bad. Oh my God, get in here." So I come running in and I check his spine again. Guess what? He's got some vertebral subluxations. So I'm going to adjust him again. Now he looks better. All right. So how he held his first adjustment for 20 minutes. Okay. If he holds his second adjustment for 40, or an hour, 2 hours, is he healing?
Yes.
If he only holds it for 20 minutes, then we're going to talk about what we're going to do next. Okay, but if he's healing, if that body's healing, because one of the biggest things that I think we have to do as healers is stay out of innate sweat.
Amen.
You know, people are always wanting, what else can I do? What else can I do? Wait.
Yes.
Wait. You know, my first rib being out didn't happen. You know, immediately it was the cholesterol and the stress and all those things that didn't happen overnight. It wasn't, you know, it was a combination of thoughts, trauma, and toxins
over years.
And that first rib adjustment helped me for a while. My blood pressure was still up. Nope, we didn't take care of that. But I wasn't having the pain. I wasn't having the dire stress. Yes, we started to do some of those other things, take care of some of those thoughts, you know, lose some weight, exercise a little more, start to live a chiropractic lifestyle, you know, which the first book out is, yes, it's really a thing. It talks about animal chiropractic. You can go to get it at yeschiro.com. All right. And the new book should be out in 60 to 90 days from now. And it's, yes, it's a better thing. And it's about a chiropractic lifestyle for your dog. Not just chiropractic, but chiropractic and better food and more exercise.
Yeah. You know, I listen to you and you know, there are some folks that are going to be, this is going to go in one ear and out the other. Cause you know, whatever dogs, you know, they're going to live their life and then they're done. But man, is there a group of people, and it's not a small group of people, that will do anything
yep.
for their best friend, which is their dog. There is a real market for to help families that want to do something for their animals, to give their animals a better life. What have you seen in the profession in terms of, you know, folks that have gone through your program maybe and that are now in practice? Obviously, you do it yourself for that kind of a thing.
I can tell you that our students that truly, just like any school, you know, like your interns, what percentage of your interns, and you can't tell me 100, yeah. I know we'd like to, but what percentage of your interns are truly, truly like rocking it to the moon?
Yeah.
Probably 90, maybe 90, 95, because you got that one or two that's like, eh, you know, this guy doesn't know anything he's talking about. And they're out there doing it, but they're not rocking it, right? So, you know, it's just like if you go to, you know, Roberto's, like we talked about at the very beginning, it doesn't. So the people that really use our programs, no matter where they are paying for their school within a year.
Hmm.
And we're talking about a $15,000, $16,000 investment. And they're paying for that within a year with animal chiropractic and making a huge difference in their communities. And I can't tell you how many people come to us with a dog, and we always ask first question, do you see a chiropractor? Oh, heck no. I would never go to the one of them quacks. All right. Well, why did you bring your dog here? Well, because somebody told me I should. All right. You don't understand anything about chiropractic. Nope. Just that they're quacks. Okay. And you know, 6 months down the line, they're bringing their dog in for their recheck, and they're bringing him in every 2 weeks, just like they're supposed to. And they'll be like, hey, doc, you know, I got this little catch right here. Do you think you can help me? And I can't. I do not adjust humans. I am not a chiropractor. I am a veterinarian certified in animal chiropractic. That doesn't mean I don't send a lot of people to the chiropractor. I have a list. And chiropractors, if you're not doing it, I will send your clients to somebody else. I'm not afraid.
That's right. You know, one of the best stories, Dr. O, and I was just looking around. I usually have this next to my desk here, but I don't see it. But I've got a postcard. You know, it's one of those kind of fancy, those companies where you can, you know, get pictures on both sides when there's, you know, a graduation or something like that, Shutterfly or something like that. And it was a postcard that I received. And before I tell you what was on this postcard, I'll tell you that you know, for years and years, I've adjusted animals, but I've never done it. I've never announced it. I've never advertised, and I wasn't professionally trained. I wish. I mean, if I could reverse this, I'd be at your school instantly. I would start my career by adding that service. This woman was referred to me by a patient of mine, and she had a pug, a little dog. And this pug had all kinds of problems, but ambulation, couldn't walk, you know, and other issues, I was walking with his head crooked and all kinds of things. I worked with that dog for about 6 months, and the dog had fantastic results. And I talked to the mom, the woman who brought the dog in, over 6 months, I probably talked to her no fewer than 10 times. When are you going to get adjusted? When are you going to get adjusted? And it was the same, you know, kind of question. Well, no, it's not for me. You know, I don't, she didn't call me a quack to my face, but basically that was her feeling. Right.
Yep.
And, finally, one day I convinced her to fill out the forms, and this was, probably 9 months later. And she had no symptoms, but she couldn't get pregnant. We took x-rays, did a full exam, found subluxation in her lower back. And I told her the story of the 11 people that I've had come through my clinic that were able to give birth because they got adjusted. And not a single one of them had ever come to me because of that reason. She said, right. Well, that's not really why I'm here, but I just wanted you to check me. And I said, well, I am checking you. And this is a problem in your lower back, and it's affecting your reproductive organs. And we adjusted her on a full corrective plan. So it was a full 72 chiropractic visits for her. And she sent me a postcard. This was about a year later. So let's just fast forward a year later. And this postcard, after she had moved away, was her baby. And it was a birth announcement of her having a baby. And doctor after doctor told her that that baby would never exist. And that's what we're dealing with out there, is misinformation. People don't understand. They don't know. They just are not being told the truth of how the body works, how it functions, and how chiropractic can change your life.
Hey, everybody. This is Dr. Jeff. Thanks for listening to this episode of Chiro Feast. And the next episode is a continuation of this conversation, this awesome conversation. We're gonna hear some new stories in the next episode of Chiro Feast. As always, if you need help with coaching, mentoring, or if you'd like to take a look at how to get new patients from sponsoring teams in your community, reach out to me. I'd be happy to help you with that. We'll see you at the next episode, everybody.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I'm Rachel, the marketing director of Big Fish Enterprises. If you or a colleague are interested in learning the secret sauce to getting a high volume of quality new patients fast, our program, Team Doc, could be the perfect fit for you. Learn more about Team Doc and coaching with Dr. Jeff by visiting www.mybigfishenterprises.com. We'll see you next week.